Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
It is such an honor to be here today, and Pastor Julius, Vanita, and Pastor Brian, and Violet, and all the team here, thank you for your love, your care, and your support. We love this church. It's taken me 47 years to get here, but I made it. And we were in CJ's last night eating some very good food, too much food. You guys are spoiling us, but I was reflecting on our visit to the villages yesterday, and we met our sponsored child, Angel, for the first time after 4 years. And I think there's a picture of my wife, my children meeting Angel. It's going to come up on the screen. And just incredible. It's just incredible because we saw firsthand our church is able to sponsor children. And there's my son and my daughter and Angel. And as a church, I'm not sure how many children we sponsor. 120 children. And we want to do more because we see the need. We want to continue to love this city, love this nation. And so thank you. But as I sat in CJ's last night, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you know, if the Bible was rewritten now in 2025, I feel like Watoto would be a modern day Bible story, a modern day Bible miracle. Just to see, I didn't realize just the scale of what God is doing here. And it is miraculous. And as you help the widow, the orphan, as you help those that no one sees, I believe God is going to continue just to expand and blow your minds. And so I want to encourage you that you've only just begun. I think of the bamboo shoot in the ground for so many years, and then suddenly it shoots up. And I see God just, there's going to be so many more villages, and there's going to be so many more ministries. And I also believe that you're going to send missionaries to Europe. We used to send missionaries this way, but actually there's going to be a reverse. Europe needs a revival. We've just seen the beginnings, but it's a quiet revival. But I believe that God is going to send many Africans back to Europe. You will take what God has done, and we will see a great last revival around our world. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. So far, Lord, we've given you our worship. We've given you our offering, but now you want to give back to us through your word, and you want to speak to us. So Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Father, maybe this is the first time in a church building for some, Lord, or for some that they've been coming for generations, but you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you'd give us our daily bread. You would help us leave this place with the strength and the hope to move forward. I pray for those who are on the edge of even giving up their faith, that something would relight today, Father. Something would stir again in their hearts. I pray for our online community who are watching right now from all over Africa, Lord, that you would speak clearly to them. We love you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's give God some praise. Now you can take your seats. Hello, Mum. My mum is watching. We're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, and we're going to read two back-to-back stories. The first is a little bit of a gruesome story, but we're going to read it because I want to give you some context to both these stories, how they come together. The first is the death of John the Baptist. It says in verse 3, Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry her. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of a riot because all the people believed that John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. Then the king regretted what he'd said, but because of the vow he'd made in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to a girl who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. Then in verse 13, it goes on to talk about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It says, as soon as Jesus had heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was, and he headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. And then he feeds the 5,000. We don't have time to read the whole of the chapter. Back-to-back stories. Many of us have read those two stories hundreds, thousands of times without the context and the emotional bridge which brings the two stories together. What hits me most about the story of the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't actually the miracle, it was the timing of the miracle. At this particular time, Jesus was not in a good way. There are only five times in Scripture where Jesus' emotions are described. You remember when he turned over the tables in the temple and other times? But this is one of the times where his emotions are revealed in Scripture. John the Baptist and Jesus, they were cousins. They would have grown up together. Who grew up with a cousin? Went into the pulled mangoes out of a tree, built a tree house, ran down the road, played football together. They would have had childhood memories. And John had baptized Jesus just a few months before in the River Jordan. And John had a special place in the life of Christ. But John's head was taken off at a birthday party for the price of a dance. If you think about this event, the brutality of it is actually barbaric. They present John's head on a tray to Herod. And then there is a line in this story which we can easily skip over if we don't think about it. It says that they went and told Jesus what had happened. They went and told Jesus what had happened. If any of us had heard the news of a family member, a friend, that this had happened to them, who would be enraged, be sick to their stomach? A cousin had been beheaded. They went and told Jesus what had happened. Jesus would have been exactly and have felt the same emotions and pain and sickness in his stomach that we would have felt. His own family member beheaded. I don't know about you, but as I've had the phone ring in the middle of the night, I felt the pain when I'd heard the news of a friend and a loved one who'd been tragically taken from us. My wife Chantel, her dad was murdered in a drive-by shooting in Los Angeles in 2019. And I remember the phone call that came in that morning and watching my wife go through anguish for the next few hours as she came to the terms of her own dad being killed. Jesus would have felt the same emotion when he'd heard the news that his cousin was beheaded. And it says this, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. His response was he needed to be alone. I think that's a reasonable response. Yet a few hours later, 8 to 10 hours later, it says that he was teaching and feeding 5,000 people. 5,000 people who honestly probably didn't care about Jesus' emotions. They didn't care about his feelings. They didn't care about what he was going through. They just needed help. They wanted spiritual food and they wanted natural food. This is actually a picture of life, a picture of ministry for those who are in ministry, a picture of often business or pastoring or leading and helping. It's a picture of battles and blessings. You see, the crowd enjoyed the blessing that day, but Jesus was going through an emotional battle. I want to talk for the next 4.5 hours on a message titled Battles and Blessings. Some of you are like, is he telling the truth? I don't know. Let's see what God does. Here's what serving Jesus looks like. For some of you, you're young, you're here from another nation, and you're excited, and it's fantastic. But I want to encourage you, if you're going to be here in 20 years, in 30 years, serving Jesus is a series of battles and blessings. I feel blessed to be standing here to bring God's word today. I've heard about Wototo for 20 years. I love this place. I mean, the sun is shining and it's winter in England. I mean, what is there not to love about Uganda? If you're from Norway, you should be saying amen right now too. We're wearing a t-shirt. I feel blessed. Does anyone else feel blessed today? I just feel so blessed. I was just watching the life in this place and the worship and the joy. I feel blessed. And there's going to be times in life where you're going to feel blessed. The wind is going to open by itself. The birds are going to be singing. Everyone's going to get along, but there's going to be other days where they feel just like a battle. Because Jesus had to battle through that day. Imagine if Jesus had asked himself how he felt on the morning he woke up to feed the 5,000 with the emotional pain at what happened the day before. Who thinks Jesus deserved a day off? A week off. I mean, some of them would check out for a long time, and deservedly so. But the demand on Jesus was to go again into the battle. I want you to write this down. Jesus went about doing good when he was feeling bad. There's going to be times in life, there's going to be times in ministry, there's going to be times in family, in marriage, where God requires of us to keep doing good even when we're feeling bad. This is a blessed day today. It is a blessed day. But life and church and business and family isn't always like that. God requires us to stay in the battle so that we can receive the blessing. So many people fall away from faith. So many people fall away from church because they think life is a full stop. When a battle comes, it is not a full stop, it is a comma. It is a setback. There will be setbacks on your journey. There will be setbacks in your business. There will be setbacks in your marriage, and there will be battles. But God requires of us to keep going about doing good even when we're feeling bad. We opened our new building in Soul Church in Norwich, England, 2 years ago, a 1,300-seater building. We've seen miracles. We've seen the church grow, and there is a revival sweeping across Europe. Last year, we baptized over 2,000 people. Come on. There is a revival happening. But there's been some battles. There's some battles that were Wototo. We had battles with planning. We had battles with finances. We had battles with builders. There are battles along the way. But today, in a few minutes' time, the church in England will be gathering to enjoy the blessing of God. But there is no blessing if you don't go through the battles. Pastors Gary and Marilyn Skinner, for, was it 40 plus years? 40 plus years. They went through battle after battle after battle so we could walk in here today and lift our hands and bless the Lord at all times. There is a blessing today because people endured the battle. The 5,000 enjoyed the meal, spiritual meal, and the loaves and the fishes because Jesus woke up that morning and he said, I'm going to battle past my emotions. I'm going to battle through my feelings because there is a blessing on the other end of the battle if you stay in the battle. Jesus had every right to say to the crowds that day, I need a day off. I need to rest. I need to mourn. I need to sleep. Yet he went about doing good. And when we read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which is a Sunday school favorite, my kids loved reading it as children before they go to bed. And it's a story of blessing. But we never think about the battle it took to get there. Jesus went about doing good even when he was feeling bad. Sometimes what feels bad is the very thing that God is going to use to propel us into something good. One of the worst things you can ever ask yourself is this. You ready? How am I feeling? Now, sometimes we need to ask that question. But if we over-ask that question, we could miss out on the blessing, because sometimes how we're feeling is something to battle through to get to the blessing. Because let's be honest, if we ask ourselves how we're feeling when we need to get up for work at 7 o'clock in the morning, well, I feel tired. Feelings aren't always bad things. Sometimes our feelings lie to us. Sometimes our feelings tell us that they owe us something that they don't. And God is saying, if you can push past your feelings, push past some of those things that want to keep you back, I've got a blessing on the other side. You will never know the cost involved in this room today to experience the blessing of God because of the thousands of leaders and volunteers who've laid down their lives over the past 44 years so we can enjoy the blessing. There were times where people said, I don't feel it. Jesus didn't that day. Yet he went about doing good. Why am I speaking this message today? It's because life doesn't always go the way we want it to. School, university, college, work, marriage, health. People disappoint us. Church disappoints us. Life is painful. Our careers, our plans. Life won't always feel good. I don't think Jesus felt like ministering to 5,000 that day. Yet he went about doing good even when he was feeling bad. There will be moments, even seasons of our lives where God's going to call you and I to keep doing the good things even when we're not feeling it inside. It is called the call of the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask this question today. How do we go about doing good even when we're feeling bad? How do we continue? Because like today, like me, maybe you're feeling really good, but come tomorrow, next week, next month, there could be a day where you wake up and you don't even know why you're not feeling it, but you're not feeling it. Yet God requires us to continue to do good. So I want to just share three thoughts from this passage as we continue to build and lead our lives through battles and blessings. The first thought is this: Jesus went to the Father. It says in verse 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone with the Father. He got alone with his Father, not his feelings. I'll say that again. Jesus went to be with the Father, not his feelings. There is a difference between isolation and solitude. Isolation is you getting alone with you. Solitude is you getting alone with God. And when the battles of life come, we have a choice to make. We can get alone with ourselves, our feelings, and we can wallow in our hurt and our pain and our past, or we can choose to get alone with the Father. Jesus constantly got away with the Father. Why? Was it to wallow, to swipe, to tweet, to Instagram? No, he went to talk to his Father. And when I've been disappointed and hurt in the battle, I'm tempted to get alone with myself. Anyone else tempted? To eat a little bit too much ice cream? Sleep a little longer? All those things, because we want to isolate ourselves from the problem. We want to run from the problem. Yet Jesus taught us in this story, even though he was going through the pain and the loss of his cousin, he went alone to be with his Father. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, with Toto Church, and I will give you rest. God is calling us. If you're in the heat of battle, if you're going through the pain of a divorce, if you're struggling right now for financial support, if you're struggling right now with physical sickness, God is calling us to be with him. He wants to speak to us. He says he left alone to be in a remote area. A remote area. It didn't say he was left alone with his remote control. Who knows, it's easy when you're going for a battle just to put the TV on, put Netflix on. just watch a series one after other because we just want to ignore the problem. Yet Jesus, he went into battle with his Father. And if we're going to go the distance, this journey in following Jesus, we need a remote space. The psalmist said in verse chapter 91, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want to ask you, do you have a secret place? Do you have a remote place where you get to get alone with God? Where you get to escape the craziness, the busyness of life, the hurt, the disappointment of the battle, the people who've let you down? By the way, I'm not talking about coming to church here. Church is not a remote place. It's a public worship space. Your Christian walk should not be determined by an hour on a Sunday in church. If I met my wife for 1 hour a week, our relationship would not be strong. We have an intimate relationship which is built on everyday communication. That's exactly how God wants you to talk. You don't have to face a certain direction. You don't have to be anywhere particular. God just wants intimate moments with you at various points of your week. And Jesus understood the power of solitude, especially in the battle. Jesus went to the Father. And Jesus is saying to us today, he's saying to those listening on the radio, he's saying to those watching online, he's saying to those in person in the room, he's saying, come to me. And he wants to hear your heart's cry. Do you know, I love hearing my children. I've got two children, Justice, who's 11, and my daughter, Miracle, who's 14. Do you know, I love to hear their voices. I don't like it when they're always quiet. I'm like, talk to me. Who loves to hear their kids' voices? Do you know, Jesus loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear you. And do you know what I even love about my kids? I love it when they tell me what they want. I love it when they say, Daddy, I would love this. And it might mean I can't get it for them right now, or maybe not even right for them right now, but I love to know what's in their hearts. You know, our Heavenly Father loves to know our heart's cry. If your desire is to be married, keep telling God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I told Him 3 years ago what I wanted, and nothing's changed. Well, I went to the gym once and nothing changed. It's consistency. It's building rhythms into our lives. Talk to God. If you talk to your spouse once, nothing's going to change. What you do is you consistently talk to God. Tell Him your love for Him. Tell Him your heart's cry. Tell Him the challenges of your life. Tell Him the battles that you're facing. And as you build that relationship, you will begin to hear the heart of God and things will start to move forward in your life. Jesus went to the Father. Secondly, it says, Jesus walked in His anointing. I think Jesus, as He went out that day to speak to 5,000 people, with the emotion and the pain of losing His cousin, I think He would have remembered Luke chapter 4, verse 18, just a few months earlier, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Just like Jesus, when you became a Christian, you didn't just become a Christian, you became anointed to bring good news. You are anointed to bring good news to your university. You're anointed to bring good news to those who are poor in spirit, poor in riches around you. You are anointed. This salvation gift that you've been given isn't just for you, it's for others. That's why Jesus said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." It wasn't singular, it wasn't a key, it was keys to the kingdom of heaven. So He has anointed you to bring good news to the poor, which means when the battles come raging in your life, you can't just shut up shop and say, "That's me done." You got to say, "God, I can dig deep, I can come through this battle because there are people on the other side of this that need to hear the good news." And Jesus, that day, He woke up and He didn't want to speak. He didn't want to hand out 5,000 Subway sandwiches. He didn't want to. But He knew that He'd been anointed just a few months earlier. And we are anointed And I know this is kind of an anti-cultural message because we're told to listen to our feelings, but sometimes our feelings lie to us. Because if Jesus had listened to his feelings that day, he would have never accomplished the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and millions and billions of people have been blessed and helped by that story ever since. Because Jesus pushed past his feelings, he went through the battle, and he received the blessing. The greatest moments I have felt the Spirit of God in my life haven't been on a stage or holding a microphone. It's when the Holy Spirit has given me the strength to keep going in the battle. I remember the 13 years ago when we were anointed to lead. We were literally anointed on a stage like this 13 years ago to lead Soul Church. I was scared. What was in front of us felt so big. And there's been days where you think, is it worth it? There's days where people betray you. People let you down. People say one thing and do another. You know what I'm talking about, because you go through the same emotions of life. God heals that person, this person dies. People come to you as a pastor and they want questions and they ask you things like, why do bad things happen to good people? And to be honest, I don't know. I don't know. Life isn't always about understanding, it's about trusting. There will be some questions this side of eternity unanswered. Don't spend your whole life trying to answer a question that will not be answered this side of eternity and miss the plans and purposes God has for you in the now. Though he slays me, I will trust him. And so God, I trust you. I trust you with what's happening right now. And here's what happens on the days where I feel like I can't go on. I say this. The God who called me is the God who will keep me. The God who called you, Pastor Julius, is the God who will keep you. When marriage feels tough, you know, not every day is Valentine's Day in your marriage. We've been married 20 years in a few weeks' time. 20 years. We have a great marriage. I love my wife dearly. But there are days. We made a commitment on our wedding day. We made two commitments on our wedding day, or three commitments. Death to us part. Second commitment we made on our wedding day, these are worth writing down, by the way, is we will never, ever say the word separation or divorce in our marriage. We'll never say those words. However heated or however challenging the marriage is, we will never whisper those words, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we will not release those words into the atmosphere. The third commitment we made is that we will say, I love you, at the end of every night. And sometimes it's really easy. We're like, I love you. And then other nights it's like, I love you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are young, you're not married yet. You think, well, surely it's always good. Yeah, it's always good. But we've been able to keep them. We've been through some battles. We've been through some loss. But when marriage feels tough, do you know what I look at? Look at my wedding ring. Because this is the covenant I made. Till death do us part. We've been anointed to be married till the day we leave this earth. So we're going to walk in that anointing. It's not about feelings. Because I don't always feel married. Don't tell her. But it's not about my feelings. It's about my covenant. Oh, I don't feel like going to church. Well, sometimes I don't feel like going to church and I'm a pastor. Might as well just put it out there, Pastor Julius. We get off a long flight, we're jet lagged. I don't always feel it, but I'm called to it. So the God, come with me, the God who called me is the God who'll keep me. The God who called you to raise children is the God who'll keep your children. The God who called you to that business is the God who'll keep your business. You have been anointed for it. And when Jesus woke up that morning and he's required to do good when he was feeling bad, first of all, he'd been with the Father. And secondly, he remembered that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was upon him and he was anointed to bring good news. It wasn't about his feelings. It was about his conviction. And sometimes, if only thing you have to fall back on is your conviction, fall back on it. God has called you, God will keep you. You see, the anointing, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, it gives us strength when we feel weak. It gives you power when ours has run out. It gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I want to remind you again, you're anointed to be that husband. You're anointed to be that wife. You're anointed, parents, to raise those children. You know those children that are driving you crazy right now and screaming all night? They were the same ones that you stayed up all night praying, God, just give me a child. And now they're driving you crazy. God is saying, no, I've anointed you to raise those children. You're anointed. The Spirit of God gives you another gear in life. Let me explain it. I was given a car by my grandma growing up. And on the gear shaft, the gear stick, it said S, a button. I thought, wow, I wonder what that does. Is it like a spirit rapture button where you press it and you go straight to heaven? I thought, I won't try it on a normal road because if the car keeps going, it's going to hurt someone. I'll press it on a quiet road. So we went out to this highway and I pressed the button. And what it did is it gave you an extra like 1,000 revs per minute. Vroom. And it's to press if you're stuck behind a slow-moving motorbike, like what they called here, the border button. So you press the border button, and then go, shoo, and then you're suddenly at the way you need to be. So I pressed the border button, the S button, shoo, and the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me, he said, you know what, that's life. That's exactly what I want to do in your life. Sometimes you're stuck. You're stuck behind a mountain. You're stuck in a battle and you're trying to navigate through the sickness. You're trying to navigate through the uncertainty in your own strength. But I've given you the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, and you can press my button at any time and the Spirit of God will come upon you. And when you walk into a room, things change. The atmosphere has changed. Work changes. Everything can change when you say, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. See, I'm speaking to a very gifted group of people. I mean, did you see this platform? Oh, my word. I mean, us white British people, we can't dance. We can hardly sing. And when we come into an atmosphere like this, man, you guys know how to groove. We need a bit more Africa. I love it. There's so many gifted people. But there's a difference between your gift and the anointing. You see, your gift will make room for people. Your anointing will change people. Your gift will entertain people, but the anointing will transform people. And some of you have been operating in your gift, and those gifts, are from God. All good and perfect gifts come from the Lord, and he will never take them off you. But there is a difference between operating in your gift in business and the anointing in business. There is a difference between operating in your gift in marriage and your anointing in marriage. When you're anointed, suddenly the Holy Spirit, it will take your life to another dimension. And some of you have been operating in a natural dimension. And God is saying, if you want to operate in another level in the workplace, in your business, in your family, you've got to press the S button and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Jesus that day in the natural couldn't have spoken to 5,000 people, but he remembered that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he had anointed him for that moment. Some of you, you're in the battle right now and you're saying, God, where are you? Jesus must have been breaking on the inside, yet there was a blessing on the outside. If you think about an egg can't be used until it's broken. Some of you, you've been broken. Life has broken you. People have broken you. People have hurt you. And you're saying, God, where is the blessing in this? And God is saying, I will use your brokenness to be a blessing and a mechanism for others to walk into freedom. My wife, Chantel, when she was a little girl, she was emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by a family member. She's been through so much pain and we've walked that journey together, and she's been through trauma therapy and she's come out on the other side. You say, well, where's the blessing in that? The blessing is she now goes around the world speaking at conferences, speaking in churches and one-to-one with many girls who've been through similar stories. And she's able to share her story of freedom and breakthrough. And she is now able to be a blessing to those who are broken. Could it be that God has allowed you to go through some of the things in your life so that you can be a testimony? Your mess can become a message for others. And that day, Jesus' brokenness, his battle was a blessing to others. Jesus went to the Father. Jesus walked in his anointing. And finally, number three, as the team come up, Jesus was moved with compassion. It says in verse 14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them. The last sight that Jesus wanted to see was a huge crowd who needed help. He was the one who needed help. He wanted to run and hide and escape. Have you ever walked into church and there's someone waiting for you with all their problems and you're thinking, God, I've got my own problems. Is it just me? You're like dodging them. We've got this guy in our church. I get to church. He's waiting for me every Sunday. And then when I leave church, he's waiting for me. I'm like, Lord, are you serious? He's like, yep, you've been anointed for it. God's anointed you, not just for your battles, but to help people go through their battles. There are days when the last thing we need is other people's problems and pains. God is calling us to others. The challenge is sometimes we've been serving God for so long that reading the Bible for so long, the Bible, it draws us, but it doesn't move us. Going to church, we attend church, but it no longer moves us. I pray that people still move us. Think about how Jesus had been so hurt by what had happened from Herod, the pain of what he'd done to a family member. It'd be so easy for Jesus just to say, I'm done with people. Man, we can get like that. Jesus had no right to show compassion to someone after what had just happened to him. Yet when you've been with the Father and you remember that you're anointed, not just for the good days, for the bad days, for the battles. You know what happens? Our hearts can still be moved with compassion. I pray, I love Pastor Julius. I love that video. That moved me, stirred me. Because we can even get comfortable. God, I'm going to leave with Toto with one thing. Our church needs to do more. I've come back going, I need to do more. When I see the children who don't have safety, they don't have a home yet, they don't have what the others have, something in my heart says we can do something a little bit more. I pray that we're still all being moved with compassion. I pray that we don't see people as they are, but we see people for what they can become. Are you a part of this local church? Or are you still moved by this church? When Pastor Julius came on that video, did you switch off and think, I've seen that before? Other people can sponsor those kids. Or were you thinking, man, I was that child once? Do you know if everybody cared for someone in this world, everybody would be cared for? It's easy to point a finger at a president or a politician or a statesman. It's easy to point a finger at all of the world's problems. But you know where the solutions begin? They begin here. Yes. They begin in this room. Jesus never took on Caesar. Jesus never took on the Roman Empire. He just loved people. He just loved the ones and the threes and the fives and the 12s and the 500s and the thousands. He went from one to one, home to home, and just simply loved people. And he started a revolution that we're still a part of. Do you know you can start a revolution in Australia, in Norway, in England? You can start a revolution simply by loving people one to one. Caring for people. It's not enough just to be part of it. We've got to be moved by it. If not, the Bible says we're just a clanging cymbal. I'm going to finish with this. But the quickest way out of faith is to count your battles. The quickest way to grow into faith is to count your blessings. There's an old song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, and you'll see what God has done. We've all got battles, and I'm not here today to play down or diminish what you're feeling or what you're going through. That's not what this message is about. This message is about to say, hey, the Holy Spirit wants to give you strength to endure the battle because there is a blessing on the other side. And it's not just a blessing for you, it's a blessing for generations to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why was Jesus moved with compassion? Why didn't he take a day off and stay in bed? Why did he get up that day? Simply because this, there is always somebody going through something worse than I am. He knew that day that there were thousands coming to hear him, and somebody would have been going through more than what he was. Do you know what gets me up every day? It's the fact that someone else is going through more than I am. We can stay in bed and wallow in our pain and our hurt and disappointment, or we can make a decision to go to the Father, walk in our anointing, and be moved with compassion. If you've been stirred by that message, I want you to stand to your feet today. If you've been stirred, I want to pray for you. If God has spoken to you at some point about marriage, a business, maybe you've got complacent in life, maybe you've just been sitting in your own pain, and God wants to bring healing right now. Because life is simply battles and blessings. Heaven is one long blessing for eternity, and I cannot wait to enter. But on this earth, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I want us just to lift our hands right now. I want the worship team just to sing over us. Let's exalt the name of Jesus. Wherever you are watching from, would you lift your hands right now? Let's declare this out. I exalt him above my issues, above my battles, above my problems. He's here right now. Allow him to hear your voice. For thou, O Lord, come on, sing it out.
Thou, O Lord, art God
above every battle, above every need, every situation.
Thou art exalted far above.
Come on, let's lift him high. Hallelujah.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above.
Come on, every hand raised in this building. Give your battle over to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I exalt.
Yes, God. You're coming through the battle. Come on. Hallelujah.
I exalt thee. We
Lord, I pray right now for every person in the heat of battle. Those wanting to quit their marriages, quit their jobs, feeling like they can't move forward. I thank you that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon them right now. You have anointed them, Father God, for the struggle. I thank you that there is a blessing on the other side. Give them strength, Father God. Renew their mind. Bring peace in the storm. Your promise is that you would walk with us every step, every day. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, give us eyes to see those around us. Stir our hearts again with compassion. We thank you, God. I want to pray for one more group of people. Maybe you've never, ever asked Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Maybe a friend brought you here today. Maybe you came because you watched online and you wanted to check it out in person. Maybe you're watching online right now. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Jesus loves you, my friend. He doesn't want you to go through the battles of life alone. You were never designed that way. Jesus wants to walk beside you every step of the way. He never promised us there wouldn't be battles. He just promised us he'd never leave us or forsake us. Don't walk through what you're walking through alone. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, from the youngest to the oldest, you may be a visitor here from another country today. He loves you. There is nothing He doesn't know about your life. There is nothing He cannot forgive. The only thing that's required of us is to simply open up our hearts and allow His love to come inside, to forgive us of our past and give us our hope for tomorrow. If you're saying in the room today, I need Jesus, I need forgiveness of my past, I need hope for the future, would you just slip up your hand right now, lift it nice and high, pray for me. God bless you, 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 God bless you. Up on the balcony, God bless you. Those watching online, you can put your hands down right now. We're going to say this prayer out loud together. Father God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. Right now, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Give me a new start from this day forward. I thank you that you will be with me in every battle. I thank you that you love me. Amen. Amen. Would you congratulate everyone who said that prayer? Amazing. Please speak to someone. If you prayed that prayer, said that prayer from your heart, please do not leave without telling someone that you've made that decision. Church, God is with you in the battle. God is with you in the blessing. Walk with the Father. Walk in your anointing and keep being moved with compassion. We love you. God bless you, Itoto.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.